You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 1. Romans and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Spirit of God, thank you very much. Looking to you, help us, our Lord, in order that we might honor you, our Heavenly Father. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little studies that we've been doing, seeking to get a handle on the world in which we live, and the illustration, again, remember, we're on the highway, big map of the world, and on the highway, and moving down the time, clock is moving, time is moving, we are moving, the world is moving. And therefore, we need to have, if we can, pieces that would help us to give us a sense of stability, a sense of safety, a sense of security, a sense of satisfaction that we're on the right road for the right reasons, going in the right direction to come out in the right way. Now, having said that little bit, we share together in our little efforts to do this, to understand why we're here and how things are going, where they're going, etc. And we share together that Genesis 6, the world, as you know, was up in arms. That means they were against God. God was their presence. They turned away from his presence. They did not honor his presence. And in the process, they for 120 years they left him out. There's no politic. There's no religion at this time. Tower of Babel after the flood. The tower and a city, Genesis 11, and then there's religion and politics. Genesis 10, all of those nations are involved in religion and politics, etc. That's where it all starts and goes and keeps coming this way. Now, having said that little bit, and religion and politic is necessary to support worldliness. Worldliness is seeking to be on planet Earth without God. So if we're going to try to leave God out of the picture and succeed, which is what Cain did, building a city, what they did in the Tower of Babel, we're going to try to leave God out of the picture and exclude him, that's worldliness. The exclusion of God. Everything he made is wonderful and is to be exercised. It's when you exclude God the problem comes. Now, and that's what worldliness is. And worldliness needs religion and politic to give it a safety and function. Now, in Romans chapter 1, just to remind us, God's summing up humanity apart from him. And therefore, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, manifest, made public, clear, plain, in them, inside the person. It's inside the person, but God has showed it unto them, so that's why they know it. So it isn't a question of anyone doing the job. No, God did it. Verse 20, after all, God made them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, they're invisible, are clearly seen. So God, how are we going to understand you who are invisible and infinite? Therefore, you're going to create, clearly seen, verse 20, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, deity, power. So God, that they are without excuse. So God, you've given us flower, bugs, birds, bees, food, everything, science, all kinds of things to know that you are. And obviously, 2 trillion galaxies that are professed to be observable somehow. God, everything bears witness to your awesomeness, to your power, to your creativity, to that you're the author of it all, and therefore you need to be honored. And thus, and you're the creator of us, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Instead of having light, they went to dark. So now, God, what are we doing? Well, what's worldliness? Worldliness means that I'm not going to give God any glory. I'm not going to give God any thanksgiving. I'm not going to give God any credit in any way, shape, or form. I'm not going to give truth the right to exist. That's why we're going to call good evil, evil good. I'll turn it all upside down. Because, God, we aren't going to give you one drop of credit for being who you are. And then we read that. Not unthankful, they would not glorify God. Sliding down, verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, beasts, etc. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, etc., etc. And verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So God, we're going to get you out of the picture. And that's the problem. And that's what worldliness is. So if you want to know, it isn't material, it isn't something like that, it isn't laws of science, it isn't trees and apple trees and stuff. It's an attitude, it's an approach to the world in which we live, in which we exclude God as the Creator, as our Creator, and we eliminate Him. So we're taking, it's like the painting, going back to the painting, it's like the painting of Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, any of those, Van Gogh, any of those. And in the process, the painting says, we did it all by ourselves, and no artist ever did it. So the painting would deny the artist's existence, deny the creator's existence. And you can't do that. And that is unacceptable to the painter. It's unacceptable and thus has to be dealt with. God is dealing with the fact that creation belongs to him, and the world has taken it away from him and claimed it for themselves. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in the process, so worldliness involves humans. That's what it does. So we don't want to, and it involves how humans use and misuse the world system in which they live, how they handle their earthly existence on planet Earth, getting out of bed, going to bed, day after day, week after week, and how they handle the problems that are found in the world, the lightning, storms, and hurricanes, and wars, and rumors of wars, and how they handle things, and how they do them. So they have their problems, and they have their solutions and their ways of managing and exercising. And so they're in the midst of it all, and the material things, nature, laws, and science, etc., are not the issue. But in the process now, they are, the world system, humans, are dependent upon themselves and the system. That's what they're dependent upon. They're looking for themselves and the system to make it all work. Now, and he's the 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, chapter 4, 3 and 4. He's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, 2, etc. So therefore, we have all our politics and religion, and we share together to remind us our old human nature, Galatians 5, 20, our old human nature has got all of the problems in it, deceit and everything. Among them, we have in our head and heart, in ourselves, without even going anywhere, we're born with idolatry. We're born with it. So it's easy. Idolatry is a system to protect us from because of our worldliness. So we have that. And in the process of that, looking to God, And the system in which we live, worldliness, is rather tricky. In fact, cosmos means, has to do with what? Has to do with the orderly, wonderfully order, adorning, working things out. Boy, it's neat. God, what are you doing? You did it wonderful. The devil comes along and twists it and takes that which looks good and turns it around to come out badly for us. So now, in the light of that, looking, keeping that in mind, if you would, about the real system in which we live, and it's ever-changing, remember, ever-changing. So the world system never stays the same. Human existence exists the same, but the world system in which we live continues to advance in all kinds of ways, and in the process, it's ever-changing, and therefore, when you have your need met, the world is changing, so you need to redo it and have your need met again. You have your want met, but then it has to change. Then you have to have your want met again. So you have to keep going, and by changing dress, clothing, fashion, fads, food, fun, fears, all different fears, war, rumor of war, disease, cancer, all those different things, all of them are there, and they all vary and change and fluctuate. And in the process, it goes from country to country, culture to culture, community to community, age group to age group. All of it is in flux, changing. So whatever you catch up with, give it another day or two, especially in the electronic age, and they can do it, boom, it's a new thing, another thing. Creating, you got to make money, and all those things. Now, in the process of doing all of that, so here we are in an ever-changing world, and I need to understand that so that I understand I can't adjust to the world in which I live because it won't let me adjust. It keeps changing, and what used to be able to, this kind of tie, has to become another kind of tie. Another kind of suit has to become another kind of suit. And everything just keeps changing. And it tells you the peanut butter you had yesterday needs to have a new peanut butter and a new thing and another thing. And now it's so fast that we can't keep up with it. It's way beyond our ability. All we do is try to stay, hang on tight, and keep going, because that's all we can do, is hang on so we aren't left behind in the advancing of everything. Now, in the process, you got to have that a little bit in your head and heart. And remember now, the body that we live in, the heart that you need the body to be functioning in order to have all of the benefits. And you need to have that. You need to have a relationship to God to have all the benefits to God. You need to have you inside to exercise all the benefits outside. You need to have God inside to benefit all the benefits of eternity, timelessness. You have to have God. And therefore, we're looking to God to deal with us. And God, you've come to save us, Luke 19:10 and that, came to save, to seek and to that, seek, and save that which is lost, and then no function. So what's the problem? Humans are dead. They need to have life. The car needs to have gas. A car that never gets gas doesn't go anywhere. Just sits. And God, you meant us to have life. So we need to have a relationship to you that makes for life. And the world system doesn't want that to happen. So therefore, country to country, culture to culture, etc., and our daily pursuit of eating and drinking, what you do. We work, we home, we go to school, we live at home, we go to school, we play, and changing, everything becomes new and different, new things, new thoughts. And the world in which we live and the global conditions in which we live, and now they're instantly upon us. It isn't just like old days where you used to have a little space to adjust. Remember when you went to school, and you could enjoy the fifth grade and not have to worry about the 10th grade yet. And you could go to school. You didn't have to worry about being an adult. Did you just act, just be young and enjoy that age bracket and develop in it so you could go to the next one? Now, I guess, I don't know, go to school and you're forced into the adult thinking, adult affairs, sex and everything that you never had. Never had to do that. Never even thought of it. Now it's thrust upon us. Gender, you got to think, are you a girl, a boy, or what are you? And all of these things, we never had them. It's there now. All fast, fast, fast. And we have to, well, what am I? I don't know what I am, et cetera, et cetera. Now, and so the world conditions are changing, and in the process they change so fast, we have little to no understanding. And there's no way you can keep up with the electronic world. There's no way in the world you can keep up with it. It's meant to be super fast and quick, and we're hanging on again, and we can't keep up with it. So do we have time to sit and think about it and understand it? No, not too much. Some things we could, but mostly we're carried along, and we can't let go because who knows what's next and how it's going to be. Now, in the midst of all of that, so practically, we aren't any better off with all of this knowledge and all of these different things. We aren't so good, well off as we were, because it's awful hard to be still, quiet, content, to be without the electronic world. It's very hard for us, for people, to be without it. Someone told me the other day, I forget the illustration, whatever, and they said they were with a person, and the person didn't care how much money it cost at the electronics store to get his thing fixed or whatever. He didn't care. He just said, I can't be without it. That's the idea. I can't be without it. That's not good. That's addiction. That's caught up in the system. Wow. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore, and also remember now, what something means to one person, it doesn't mean to the next person. Worldliness is all in your little cubicle in your head. Whatever you are looking at, absorbing, it's on your terms. So worldliness is personal. It's how you handle something, how you see something. And what does it mean? What something means to somebody else may not mean that to you. So here's all the worldliness, and worldliness, as we shared, may be worldliness to you, but not to them, and vice versa. And personal. It's all personal. Sometimes worldliness is public, like gambling and drinking and drugs and all of this, and that's very public. But it's also personal. So therefore, and work and play, etc., and we have the day, as we shared in Sunday school a little bit, on all the language. Language is out of this world, and gambling and sex and lotteries and everything. You never had all this. And so all the world is caught up in it. You go in the some stores, and they have, I don't get that, but they have these rolls. I guess that's where the lottery is. And they pull off the roll, and you buy a little something or other, and people go in and buy bread plus 3 tickets, and buy milk and 4 tickets, and they're buying. We're caught in it, and we're waiting for the call. Did we win? Did we lose? And then we do it again. But add that up with 10 other things in your life, and we're caught in the system. We don't want to be. But it's hard to stay out of it. And as we shared and tried to in Sunday school, it used to be all clear, set apart, culture and morals and manners and sexual and everything was in somewhat in order from a human standpoint. That is no more true. It's all brought in together. Now, so you can't separate anything. Because you've got it in front of you and in you, and you are in it, and it is in you. Well, that's the way it is, and we're caught in it. So it says, be not of it, but you're in it. You're in the different things people do. I understand they have to be there in some form or fashion. But we're caught in them. We're caught in Facebook. You don't want to be in Facebook, but you are in Facebook. You can turn your little thing off, but the rest of the world knows your Facebook. They already know about you. They already have your picture, your thoughts, your words, whatever. They already have all of this. So how do we get out of it? How do we get out? In the pulpit even, they're using it, you know. And once you start, well, you don't need a Bible. The minister gets up, opens his laptop, and does whatever. And I think they're probably pretty, because they talk, don't they talk? Don't some of them talk? They talk, don't they? So all you got to do is open it up, point what you want, push the button, and put it in the front of the mic, and it'll talk to you. And no mistakes, no errors. Wow, just perfect, perfect computer language. That means you can have words that are missing. You can have sentences that are incomplete, words that are misspelled. You can have all of that, and it won't matter because it's the system. Now, in the process, all of this stuff is happening around us in every way, and it occupies the mind and the heart of our being because we're part of it. We're in it. And we know, if you're in Romans, over to chapter 8 for a moment. And we've never had this kind of setting in the world as we do now. Never have we had such access. Everything has access to us. We have access to everything. That has never been before. Never been. So we're caught. Whether we like it or not, it's hard to handle the thing. So God, you got to help us. So chapter 8, picking up in verse 6, for to be carnally, fleshly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, not. Neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So there's no way on planet Earth that we can come out on this and please God in whatever we're doing. So God, that we have no place for God. The human heart has no place for God and His Word to be rightly honored and rightly relied upon. That's called worldliness when we do that. And worldliness robs us and ruins a right relationship to God. Ruins, you don't need to get saved. You don't, between evolution and all of those different things. And we don't need to get saved. We don't need to know God. We just need to figure out some way to keep on going in the system in which we live, and that's what we're doing. So do we know the Father? No, we don't know the Father. And God has said it clearly, so we'll turn again to it. In 1 John and chapter 2, remember, 1 John chapter 2, love not the, verse 15, and I'm just gonna, if I was a believer, I am, if you're a believer, if you're a seeker, this is what you have to understand. I'm trying to give some little things that may help you think about the world in which you live, because you need to do it. Otherwise, you don't connect what's happening. Now, and therefore, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So not in him. So, now if I love the world, what do I know? The love of the Father isn't in me. So no matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you want to say it, if you're caught up in the world, the love of the Father is missing. Simple, clear, and don't pull, well, I'm going to go preach and teach and love God. No, you can't. You can't. You can't love God in the world. You cannot do it. God said you can't do it. And, I'll finish that out. Behold, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's not of Him, but it is of the world, it belongs to the world. And we share together the lust of the flesh, what I want to do, what I will to do. And the lust of the eyes, what I want to have, to possess, to desire, and the pride of life, what I want to be, what I am, my earthly life, my earthly existence. And it's all of there. And verse 17, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, God, we can't get caught up in the world wrongly and expect to go and understand the benefits of being saved. Over to James, you're right next door there, and read it again. And James chapter 4. Chapter 4, James, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity, hostility, and enemy of God, with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. A, you're not going to know the love of the Father. B, you're his enemy. No, that's pretty easy. How much do I want to get in the world? Well, boy, I don't want to get too tangled. I got to get a little clearer in this, because if I'm going to try to honor the wonderful presence of God, enjoy his personal, wonderful existence in my life and in your life, I'm going to have to understand, if I get caught up in this world business, I'm not going to know it. I'm not going to know it, and I could preach and do whatever, but I don't know it, because I'm caught up, and God will not honor that. As simple as that. Wow, that's why only Noah and his three sons, because of Noah, got out of the Genesis flood. The massive number of people that didn't, all the rest of them didn't get out. They didn't want to get out. They don't want, in the tribulation, they don't shake their fist at God. In the end of the millennium, when God gives them opportunity to say, well, tell me really what you think in your heart. And they rebel as the what? As the sand of the sea. So if you think, but God, I want to get it clear so that I understand. I want to be able to enjoy the world in which I live. Thus, chapter 4 of James, and we share that. Over to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you would note, I'll move down just the whole section, but just to go to verse 16 to give you a little context. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So the believing heart is the temple. It belongs to God, God's personal property. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's a wonderful relationship. That's right. Personal. God, the real world in which we live, the world, not electronic world, not an intangible thing, real people, flesh and blood, real world that we live in. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Don't get caught up in the system. And verse 18, and I will be a father unto you, you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, having these promises, chapter 7, verse 1, having these, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what we should be doing. And not making big excuses, trying to figure out how to live comfortably in the world. I don't want to live comfortably, as we shared. You want to have the world in your hand, but don't hold it tight. In your hand. But don't hold anything tight. You have to have some things, you just have to, but don't hold them tight. Now, you can do without them. Now, having said that, in the light of that, over, if you would, in your Bible, over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If I can. Remember now, it's all about the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. So your whole existence, Lord, is to what? Show the Father, to bring us to the Father. So what are we talking about? Don't get in the world so that you can know the Father. If you love the world, you can't know the Father. Remember, Demas will say, Paul will say of Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas said, hey, what a wonderful, and off they went. Demas did that. Wow. Having loved this present world. Now, here we are, if we can, over in the Gospel of Matthew, and in chapter 6, And may I just read that which you're familiar with and remind myself of God, what are you doing? Chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is whatever you're trusting in, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're trusting, wealth, riches, whatever, whatever you're trusting. You can't do both. You can't love God and have both. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. You can't do it. So God, you're making it, if anyone pays attention, you certainly got the clarity, God, you ought to be singled out because there's no one. You're the artist, you're the creator, and you should get all the honor and all the glory, and you're the one that did it. Now, and having said that, sliding down to verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, 6 and 30, field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, no divided mind up all over the place, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where will there should be clothed? That's what the world wants me to be into, a new this, a new that, to get this, to get that. That which you have isn't adequate. You got to have this, and it keeps me, I don't even think of what's happening in the world because I'm so busy trying to keep up with what's going on. Therefore, verse 32, after all these things do the Gentiles seek? They don't have a heavenly Father. They're back in the days of Noah. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need, N-E-E-D, of all these things. God says, I know what you need. You need to trust me. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you should be doing that, looking to God. And that's what we should be doing, not getting caught up. Our Heavenly Father knows and our need and has everything in order. Over to Luke chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. Here's the world again. An illustration our Lord uses. And you will note I won't read it, but just a little bit to get the sense of it again. Chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man, the Lord's giving an illustration, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And he went. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And the son went out and took every human being, we have it in our declaration, the right liberty, et cetera, pursuit of happiness. And in the process, so God, we're looking. Well, everyone has that. That's right. We acknowledge that. Well, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to look to God or are we going to abandon God? Romans chapter 1. You knew me, God said, when I was a little boy, girl. You knew me. Now, why didn't you honor me? I'm your father. I'm the creator. Therefore, honor me. But we don't. The world doesn't, generally speaking. It certainly doesn't do that. Therefore, we want what our inheritance. Well, you're right. You have a right to your existence, to live on planet Earth. I'm going to provide everyone with food and water, all these different things. If you trust, look to me. But I'm not going to look to you, God. I'm going to go and trust myself, and I'm going to go and join the crowd. The crowd doesn't look to you. Why do I need to look to you? Now, so there he is, and he goes out, spends everything, and he goes down, you know, and the world, does the world, and you want all these things, does the world, you know it better than I do. The world, politics, power, position, privilege, everyone wants what they want. And if you're in the way, they just may step on you to get advantage, to get ahead. No? Everyone, the world system doesn't care about you. It cares about itself. And everyone in it that can get ahead is going to get ahead. King of the mountain. That's what you got to do. That's world system. That's our nature. That's our world. It's idolatry. It's in us. And so God, here we are looking. Here's the prodigal son. He's going to go, and the world, how did you do, Mr. Prodigal Son? He didn't do anything. All he did is lose out. They lost his money at the lottery, spent all his money at the restaurant. He's all done. He's all broke. He has nothing left. And he goes back, and he's working with his pigs, and they have pigs, the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So no one cares. No one cares about you, whether you win or lose. Really, they don't. No, you're expendable. You're a number. That's, think of communism, socialism, evolution. All of it, you're numbers. You're just something, not persons. God says you're persons. System says you're a number. You're just it. That's all. And that's why they can do it. Now, so in the process, he goes and eats the husk. Husk is a carob or a locust tree seed. And they fed it to the poor, ate those things, some of them, and they fed it to the pigs. The wonderful thing it did to the pigs, it made the pigs' meat sweet. If you're a pig cutter eater, you feed them husk, and it will make the meat sweet. Sweet, and that's what they did. And that's what he lived on. He said, what am I living on this for? And then we know what he did. He said, what a stupid thing. I don't have to live like this. God, you've done a wonderful thing. And God, my father, in this case, illustration, is a father. My father, no one, the servants live better in my father's house than I do. My father is there. He keeps going. Wow, I'm going to go back to my father, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm going to go and say, listen, Dad, if you don't mind, I'd like to hire on as one of the servants. The servants do better than I do. And he went back. What to human? What are you saying, God? Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Remember the angels again, over one sinner that repents. The boy's got it. He got it. God, what am I doing in the world? What am I caught up for? That's what the world system has to have control, and it's subtly. Have you ever noticed how subtle it was? And it's getting very unsubtle. Everything worldliness was taking over from Second World War, as we said, all the way down. Wow. And it was sort of inching along. But then all of a sudden, zip, up it goes. And we've had things happen in the last 8 years that never happened in the last 50 years, the last 100 years. All of a sudden, and we have to what? Adjust. So we're subtle, we're dragged into the system, and we don't have time to adjust, but it exists. And so now, therefore, we have to live in it and see, and work it out and work through it, the system in which we live in. And we don't have time to catch up, and it doesn't want us to catch up. And thus, my Father, I've got to get back to God. Seek God with all my heart. I've got to get out of this system. The system has taken me, and it isn't going to let go. It doesn't want to let go. It won't like drugs, drinking, gambling, all the rest of the stuff. It won't let go. So God, we've got to look to you, God. Only you can rescue us. How so? You die on the cross. When you died on the cross, it wasn't for you. It was for me. You took me there. So the world has how much power over me? Over a dead man. It doesn't have any power over a dead man, a dead woman, a dead boy and girl. It doesn't have any power. It's there, but no power. It's lost its power. God, I need to get there. And thus the son goes back, as you know. The father welcomes him, gives him a big welcome, and he's sinned, and he's fixed his life right and got everything good. That's wonderful, wonderful. And God, he puts the best robe on him. And you know, in verse 15 and 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and eat. Let's us eat and be merry. And wow. So God, he, a big celebration. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, 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 merry. And it was a wonderful celebration. The father was pleased. Angels are pleased. But then the son was there, the other son, as you know, all those things. And the other son was there, and he saw all the celebration in that, the fatted calf and that. And verse 28, he was angry and would not go in, would not celebrate. Therefore came his father out and entreated him to come in to the feast. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. I did my job, went to bed, got up, did everything I was supposed to do at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid and I might make merry with my friends. God, you never did that, Mr. my father. You never did that. Now, what did the father say? Verse 30, but as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him a fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. There was never a time. You live in my estate. You live in my house. You live under my domain. Everything is yours. I don't have to give you a fatted calf. They are yours. I don't have to give you a ring. They are yours. I don't have to give you a robe. They're yours. They've always been yours. You just have not exercised your relationship to me that you should have. My son did. He took it and wasted it. You haven't even taken it. God, you've given us believers all of everything, and here we are as if we're bankrupt and we're trying to get the world, not you guys, but trying to get the world system and everything to make it work. What's wrong with this and what's wrong with a little of that? And we start to say, it's very subtle. Sort of sneaks up, and when it gets up, it's so fast, we don't have time to adjust. All of a sudden it is. All of a sudden it happens. Remember, that's what the gay and all that stuff did. They legal, the media, the books written, the threats and all of that, and all of that was done inch by inch, month after month, with the papers and the books and the legal and the noise made and the riots. And what happens? And then all of a sudden, the bill is signed. Marriage of anybody. Who cares whether you marry a dog, a cat, or whatever? We lost marriage, we lost sex, gender, all that stuff. Because it sneaks up on us. But it's now there. And you know what? It's all moving. It isn't slowed down. We've got to the point where the snowball is at three quarters of the way down the hill. And the snowball has got so big and so massive and so powerful every turn it makes. Wow, mass, power, moving. How do you stop it? How do you stop the snowball now? How do you stop the avalanche when it's all the way on top of the house? How do you stop it? Well, God, we aren't trying to stop it. We're just trying to make sure that we're resting in your person and work. We're trying to make sure that we aren't like the prodigal son. We don't want to be out there in the world, and we don't want to be in, I'm a believer, then live like one. Think like one. Act like one. Don't be ashamed. Say, well, I've got to fit in. No, you don't need to fit in. When in Rome, don't do as the Romans do. Don't do that. So now, God, here we're looking. Okay, if I can. Now, over if you would please to Romans chapter 8. In the light of all this, just to remind me, Romans chapter 8, and picking up, if I can, directly in the light of the context, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Remember the word son, to be placed as a son in all of its stature, fullness, whereby we cry, we're crying, the believing heart is crying, Abba, Father. So God, and remember now the reason for that, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the Spirit of God is, present tense, is continually crying, Abba, Father, in your heart if you're saved. He's continually doing that. And so that I need to what? Always remember the Father. What's it all about? It starts with God the Father and God the Son determining to go to the cross. Where does it end? God the Son taking all of creation at, when he's all done with it, and in this Son of Man yielding to God the Father, and God that God, 1 Corinthians 15, that God may be all in all. It started with you, Father. It's all about you. How can we enjoy God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? We need to know the Father. And when we know the Father, we can enjoy God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I need to know Him. I can't just know the Spirit of God. That isn't going to help. And just talk about the Son, that isn't going to help. What's the Son doing? To get us all to the Father. And so therefore, when you get saved, what's God teach you? Oh, Father, 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 Father. And we learn to talk to my Father. My Father. Wow. And in the light of that, so that I am not robbed, ruined from my position, my possessions, my practice, my purpose, God, I have a wonderful salvation, a wonderful Savior. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing. You have a wonderful plan for my life, our life, to work out your good works from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 2:10. And therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, I'm to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I'm to walk worthy, God. I'm to walk, live my day, day in and day out, up front, back forward. I'm going to live like that, trusting what? A wonderful God who has a wonderful plan for my life. And remember we read that in 1 John chapter 5, 16, 15, 16, 17, to know the will of God. That's right. I want to be in the will of God. God, I just want to walk with you down the corridor of time and enjoy, and all the, we're going to do that tonight if the Lord tarries, all of those benefits. That's what you've done. I'm supposed to have them. I'm not supposed to be without them. I'm supposed to have them. Not being religious, that's no good. Religion's lousy. Sorry. It doesn't go anywhere. Philosophies are all wonderful. Atheism, narcissism, and line them up. What good are they? What on earth good are they in your heart? Nothing, you know. No, politics. No. Socialism, communism, all of those things are for the birds. No, God, it's about you, about a wonderful, being a person, being alive. Wow. And therefore, in the light of that, if I may, over, if I can, in closing. Remember we read in... Luke chapter 15, we read that the Father gave him the best robe, B-E-S-T, the best robe. He honored. He was trying to tell you, the Father was excited. The angels are excited. The Father gave him the best robe. Okay. Now, God, Him we are looking to you. Now, what happened? In the church in Ephesus, if you don't have to turn there, the church in Ephesus, they are very much in the middle of God's love. They're in the middle of God's love. Literally. In the middle of God, in the middle of His love. He loves them. He's loving them. Way back here. 55 AD. Way back here. Wow. And it's an example. It's the example. It's the model church, a model church to follow. No question about it. Now, but, give it a few years, not long, and we get up to Revelation and chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It doesn't take very long. And you know, in chapter 2, the church, remember, seven churches, God starts. It's a prophetic church history. It's also a practical church history. Real churches. And the churches were like in a horseshoe, remember, in Turkey, like this. Ephesus is over here in the ocean. Okay, and the church. So we start off unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? Oh, slide down, as you know, and you come to verse 4. Nevertheless, God said, I have some what against thee, because thou hast left abandoned, been indifferent to, not paying attention to, negligent of thy first love. Do you see the word first? That's the same as the word best. In the best robe, Luke 15, the first love, best, first. You have lost your first love. When you lose the love, you love the world, get caught up, you have to. You're forced into it. You don't have any choice. The only way to get rescued is that God saves you out of the world and yet leaves you in it. That's the only way. The world has you, has me, has all of us, whether we like it or not. No way, shape, or form. We shared it in case the Lord tarries and we never meet again. The world has taken us and electronically placed us in the computer. Facebook, Twitters, and Twinkles and everything. Right in the middle. And whether you like it or not, you're there, and you have to overcome that in your head and heart. You've got to do that. Otherwise, you have to know. That's what you, nothing, all those things have their place. I'm just telling you, that's what's there. And whether you like it or not, you're surrounded by it. They know you. They take you, whether you like it or not, anywhere they want to go in that system. And you're there, and they use you in whatever way they want. Tell me how you stop that. How do you stop them doing that? I don't know. You don't. They have us. And so we want to handle things carefully, thoughtfully, prayerfully, and don't get over in anything. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Because that's it. The whole world has it. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. They lost their first love. And when you come to the end, chapter 3, you know you don't have to turn there. What's the church age like at the end? You don't need anything. God, we don't need you. We'll call you if we need you. We're rich. We're good. We've got all kinds of everything going for us. God, there's no need for you anymore. The electronic age has taken over. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us to understand a little bit, to come to grips with an awesome thing that we don't even want to conceive, that it's as real as it is. It's realer than we know, more powerful than we know, our system is so... We humans are so embedded in the middle of it. God, we need your help to understand it, to overcome it, and to handle it properly. And God, without it, we're caught. So help us, please, Spirit of God. We know it's where it is. Spirit of God, you know what's going on, and you know where it's going to go. And God, we don't want to end up in that same place. So help us. Teach us, give us understanding. Thank you for loving us. Help us not to lose our love for thee. I don't want to love the world, God. We want to love you. I don't want to be a friend of the world. God, I want to be your friend. I want to be more than your friend. I want to be a son. I want to be a daughter. I want to be your child. I want to be able to say, my Father, my Father. God, help us, please, in all of this. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.